You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Welcome to hour number two. Yeah, and I mean, okay, so we're going to number two in the triple dipper. I had this one yesterday, didn't get to it. I thought, okay, I got to bump it up in the rotation here. I got to get it in. So, Let me ask you a question, Mr. Butters. Mr. Butters.
Yes.
Are you a omnivore yourself? Like, you're not a veggie guy, right?
No.
Okay. You and I have had dinner together, so I know that to be the case.
No.
All right. I don't know if you're aware, but
hey, if that's the way you want to eat, but
don't make me join you.
Yes.
There you go. So he's exactly right.
I will eat the veggies through the meat.
Okay. How about that? So first of all, I don't know if you're aware, but there's a push right now to make people who eat meat into villains. And oh, by the way, to push them towards eating less meat. Like, I'm not talking about just like random social media, but I'm talking about like official pushing people to eating less meat. This is getting all in my business right now.
Yeah.
I'm like a grill guy. I like meat. I'm a carnivore.
Now I'm gonna have to go cook a steak for dinner.
Okay.
We haven't even gotten into the segment yet.
We haven't even gotten the segment yet. So first of all, I gotta tell you this. This just started off kind of funny. New York Post ran this piece. I saw this the other day during Thanksgiving. PETA, the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, they kind of got fact-checked kind of hard on Twitter. They posted a picture, and the picture was of turkeys sitting around the Thanksgiving table with a human on the platter in the middle, as if it was turkeys enjoying the flipping of the script, and they were the ones eating the human. And the commentary... Yeah, just go ahead and let the imagery just pass you right by. But the commentary was something along the lines of, it's a good thing they don't do the same thing to us. And they got schooled hard when people pointed out to them that, turkeys are actually omnivores. They eat mice, lizards, frogs, just about anything they can fit in their mouth. They're meat eaters. So there's that.
If they could, more power to them. Guess what? They can't.
Pretty sure that we're the ones with the opposing thumbs. We can do more stuff.
If you consider great white shark the turkey of the sea and you go swimming, yes, they've got a better chance that they can eat you than you can eat them.
The turkey of the sea. All right.
That's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. It absolutely. Well, this is where we are, though. So bring it. This is where we are. And so first of all, I got to ask you, I don't think you were in the studio this day. Are you aware of the phenomenon that has sprung up in the last 6 to 8 months? They call it lab-grown meat.
I am aware of.
I picture this like pasty white, flappy looking thing laying in a petri dish, almost like percolating there, kind of flipping and flapping like the inside of an oyster shell.
Does it look like spam?
No, I'm imagining it looking more like the inside of an oyster shell. Just like, raw oysters sitting there flapping, slimy.
Now I got to look this up.
Okay, well, lab-grown meat's a thing. Just so you know, apparently the U.S. and the U.K. and Singapore and even Israel have said they'll allow it to go forward. It was FDA approved most recently. FDA approved. No one even saw it coming. All of a sudden, bam, it's FDA approved. How did that happen? Well, maybe there's a World Economic Forum and UN influence here. But just so you know, the Italian government, according to multiple websites, but this one's from a group called geneticliteracyproject.org, the Italian government has voted to ban cultured meat being sold in Italy at all. They don't want it produced. They don't want it sold. there. No more, no lab meat being, I mean, you ain't going to have spaghetti and lab-grown meatballs in Italy. Are you going to gag constantly? This is so gross.
I'm not sure. I'm just not sure. What are we doing?
But just so you know, a story off the Floridian Press from yesterday afternoon. Thanks to my daughter for referring it to me. Florida Senator Clay Yarbrough has filed a bill that would prohibit the sale or production of lab-grown cultivated meat in Florida. Cultivated meat, of course, is the process of harnessing technology to grow animals' cells into edible muscle and fat tissue. This is getting grosser by the minute. You know, I can deal with, you know, the marbling of my steak. I don't want somebody growing fat in a Petri dish and telling me it's all good. I mean, this is...
It's weird.
This is weird. The innovative product has taken the meat industry by surprise, it says, disrupted markets by potentially creating a new significant source of competition. Cultivated meat also, this is important. This is big doings. This is also complies with the ESG standards being pushed by progressives, mandating companies adopt their eco-friendly standards.
Sign me up. We got it. Yep. I'm making the switch.
Environmental, social, and governance. We got you covered with a little lab-grown meatball.
All those farmers out there raising cattle are just ruining the world.
Well, I'm telling you, unless you're going to put diapers on that cow flatulence is going to distress the world. Senator Yarbrough's bill in Florida would make selling, producing, or cultivating meat anywhere in Florida a second-degree misdemeanor punishable by up to $500 and 60 days in prison. It's a billion-dollar industry, like beef cattle.
Oh, yeah.
In Florida alone is a billion-dollar industry. This last phrase in the article got me. You ready?
No.
It says... Notwithstanding the excitement around cultivated meat, and my first thought was, who's excited? I have yet to meet anyone, talk to anyone who's like, give me some of that Petri dish steak. Slide me some of that that Spam burger that came out of a laboratory. Anyway, notwithstanding the excitement around cultivated meat, some scientists are recommending caution due to potential adverse health impacts from abnormal animal cell development. Brother, let me just tell you right now, this is how the zombie apocalypse happens. It's not COVID. It's not a vaccine. It's friggin' lab-grown meat.
Well,
that's what I'm saying.
And I guess, you know, on a serious note, you know, we're really just hitting generations now that have been fully, you know, fully fed on ultra-processed diets and things that, I mean, and there's a lot of good studies and looking at what are the long-term health, you know, impacts of that kind of stuff. And like, do we need to throw another curveball into the diet, especially in America?
I'm not even sure this is a curveball. I think this is like a nuclear blast. I mean, who does this? You know, here's what I'm thinking. I'm tired of eating steak. It's ruining the environment, don't you know? Oh, sure. Why don't we clone something in a lab and just sell it to people? I mean, this is like something off of Star Trek. Anyway, but just so you know, it's official. The United Nations wants you to stop eating so much meat. Meanwhile, back at the Batcave, the United Nations... Did you watch Batman when you were little? The old Batman? Yeah. Thank you. Meanwhile, back at the Batcave. Anyway, Red State has this piece that came out yesterday also. So here you are. I mean, you got PETA. At the same time you got PETA, you got... legislation dealing with lab-grown meat. At the same time, you got another article coming out. That's why I'm saying this is a trending thing. This is big doings. The United Nations wants you to stop eating so much meat. Why do we care what the Inuit? I'll tell you why. Because the knuckleheads that are making policy for us right now, they care what the United Nations says. So when the UN puts out a report that says, well, what we need you to do is begin to redistribute the wealth of meat. What? Yes. The United Nations is giving us yet another reason to tell them to go jump in a lake, says Red State. The agency's Food and Agricultural Organization is set to launch a comprehensive plan aimed at getting developed countries in line with the Paris Climate Agreement, and our meat consumption is on the plate. Little pun there. They're trying to address climate change by pushing developed nations to get their citizens to eat less meat. So here's the thing. Like the average American, the article says, eats upwards, allegedly, of 127 kilograms of meat per year. Maybe so. The average consumption in Nigeria or Congo is 7 and 3 kilograms. So because they're poor, we have to eat less meat. Well, they literally are saying their plan, the Global Systems Food Roadmap, yada, yada, is going to advise that the producing nations like America need to eat less meat but allow the emerging nations to eat more meat. What they're doing is this is redistribution of wealth, but it's meat.
Are the poor nations going to start buying our meat? Like, are the farmers going to get... Or the how does this work? They have less meat because they can't afford to buy more meat?
That was my thinking. I don't know.
Stupid
how to
capitalism.
Yeah. Well, I guess we're going to have to subsidize it. We're going to have to give more money to the UN so they can make sure that the people in Congo can get a burger, while here in the United States we're going to be eating crickets. Literally eating crickets. Why do I say that? Because they want us to eat crickets. That's the other thing. Where'd it go? I got an article here in the site. So here it is, The Guardian headline.
High in protein.
If we want to save the planet, the future of food is insects. Right there, holding it up to the camera. Which camera? Somewhere. There's a camera somewhere that... All right. Fried crickets on the school menu. Milk made from fly larvae. I'm sorry. I caught myself on that one. Did you say that?
I'd rather we milk almonds than milk a fly.
Little tiny little udders. I don't know.
Back to the article.
Okay. And mealworm bologna for dinner. Bro, I've eaten some bad stuff in the Army. I've been to some chow halls where I was pretty sure that wasn't normal food. I've opened an MRE multiple times and thought, this isn't right. But I have never sat down to a well-intentioned prepared meal of fried crickets, milk made from fly larvae, and mealworm bologna. But this is what they want us to do according to, most recent efforts by the World Economic Forum. All right, we're taking a break. In fact, I need a break. I need to go rinse my mouth out right now. I just feel like I'm sitting over here. Crunchy critters, dried mealworms. Wild about grasshoppers, although the legs didn't go down quite well. Connoisseurs insist that dried specimens compare well to free-range and seasonal arthropods roasted in their own oils. God almighty. You know what? Bacon sounding better and better right about now. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all go gag and be right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, the people that don't want you to eat meat, by the way, are idiots, by and large. Now, I'm not talking about the casual vegetarian, or for that matter, even the lacto-ovo-vegetarian who just occasionally eat poultry along with. But for the most part, I'm saying that the people who are activist-minded, saying, stop eating meat, they're idiots. They don't... Like, here's a great story. This came out just a couple years ago, but I actually saw it again. It resurfaced on social media. In Petaluma, California, a duck farm. All right, it's a duck farm. They're raising, ducks for the purposes of food. Anyway, activists broke in. They went to the slaughterhouse for the ducks, chained themselves into the machinery. And by the way, they didn't just like chain themselves to the machinery. They strapped their heads into the places that bad things can happen if you strap your heads into. And then somebody accidentally turned on the machine. Yeah, it didn't go very well. They managed to survive. The headline on this particular story from ABC 7 News out in California is, "I was feeling my life leave my body," says one animal rights activist. I saw the video. They were struggling. They had locked themselves in. Only one of them had the keys. They had not labeled which key goes to which lock. And they were struggling to get people out. And the guy was running trying to get the key. And they couldn't turn the machine off. Because why? Because these people, these are the same kind of folks that will glue their hands to a street on, you know, in the middle of a busy parade.
And let me guess that they're suing the...
Probably. Well, you didn't keep us out, so we got in, and then we hurt ourselves, so we're going to sue you. So, but then there's the, you know, those are the useful idiots, right? Those useful idiots, though, are the, what I would call the lesser tier of the ones you have to worry about. It's people like this one. Story from January of this year. A speaker at the World Economic Forum called on 1 billion people to stop eating meat in order to combat climate change. See, these are the people that make policy and that write papers that people like the Biden administration care about. Because then they look at it and go, huh, ESG, how can we up our ESG numbers? What does the Biden administration care about? Well, they care about what was said at Davos. They care about what was said by the UN. We need to eat more bugs. We need to stop eating meat. We're going to, yeah. So anyway, speaker at the World Economic Forum called on 1 billion people to stop eating meat to combat climate change. If a billion people will stop eating meat, by the way, this is an American. He's the chairman of Siemens. Says, I'll tell you, it has a big impact. Not only does it have a big impact on the current food system, it'll inspire innovations of food systems. And then he was inspired by his 24-year-old daughter who asked him how he could advocate for zero carbon value chains and still eat meat. So I stopped eating meat, he said. Well, good. What kind of other things do you inspire? Well, you inspire people like, oh, I don't know. What's her name? Bessa. Oh, where's her last name? I don't even find her last name on here. Anyway, she runs an organization that specializes in edible insects. Like, how about this one? They actually make what they call ento milk. I know this is getting bad. Bear with me. Ento milk. It's made from black soldier fly larvae. Why? Because they're rich in fats and minerals, including calcium. So I guess they just squish them up and make milk out of it.
It's not milk. It's squished insects.
Bro, juice. I'm just telling you what I'm reading. They call it BSFL. Black soldier fly larva milk. How about, I don't know if I can keep doing this. I got a pretty strong constitution. Things don't nearly, like, I was about to say bug me, but that would have been an awful pun. But I said it anyway. But the reality is, I'm looking at this and thinking, this is the absolute nastiest stuff I've ever heard of. Like, what is this one? You can get a company called Small Giants competes with Cool Orange Doritos by putting out their really cheesy giant Watsits. Those are made with bugs. Anyway, they say, though, that by the year 2030, the edible insects market is going to be $6.3 billion worldwide. $6.3 billion, as opposed to a billion just for cattle alone in one state.
If people choose that, great.
You know?
Just don't make me.
If you like some black soldier fly larva milk, you are welcome to it. Just don't tell me I have to eat it or drink it. Just saying. Are we done?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good. We're coming right back with Butters and Lee. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Hey, all you Right Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. No arguments there, Alabama. And I'm talking about y'all. This show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. All right. Hey, listen, so we've had the change in the lineup a little bit. Boomer and McQueen have been with us for quite some time, and we have loved having them be a part of it. They are still part of the Right Side family, but they have had to take a position they thought was good for their family, so that's where they are. But we also then, that means we're missing a thing we do on Thursdays called Boomer and McQueen. Well, not to be outdone, it's not like we don't have people, and we got people. And right now, Lee from Huntsville's on the line with us. Lee, how you doing?
I am doing well. Glad to be a part of this.
Well, we're glad you're a part of it. In fact, I would say that you're on the microphone about as much as anybody. But we appreciate you being available today for what we're about to call Butters and Lee. All right. You ready? Y'all ready? Both of y'all ready? Butters, you ready? Are you sure you're ready?
I'm still swallowing down the bug juice.
I don't know if you got to hear some of that segment, but we're both still gagging over here, Lee. All right. Here's the deal. All right. I'm changing. All right. We're getting off the bug juice. Ready? New serious business.
Serious
business. So here's my question for you. Let's just imagine, if you will, that you're going to take, I just did a 14-hour road trip, so one way. So let's say you're going to take a 14-hour road trip, but you got to rent a car. And you go to the car rental agency and you find out that all they can give you is an electric vehicle. 14 hours, electric vehicle. Do you do it or don't you do it? And why or why not? Dun, 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 dun. I'm going to go with Lee first. All right. Ladies first. Lee, what do you think? Do you take the 14-hour drive in the EV?
No.
Ah, come on.
No. Because you would have to reevaluate your entire driving plan, which, if you're responsible, like I know you are, Phil, you have it all set out ahead of time and mapped, and you're ready. Yeah, you know where you're going, where you're turning, what intersection. And the problem is that now you have to reevaluate where these charging stations are. And you also, if anybody is, there's been several articles, I would say in the last 6 months, that people wrote saying, oh, I was excited to take this trip in the EV, and now I am no longer excited about them because a 12-hour trip ended up lasting 2 days. Because you can't find enough charging stations. There's too much traffic at the charging station. You have to wait. There's hours involved charging. You end up having to spend the night in a hotel. The answer is no, because I can't. This is just the government's way of limiting our ability to travel. It is. 250-mile range. They want to keep you in a little tight circle, can't go too far away, and if they need to, if you have some wrong think, they can just turn that car off to where it won't start.
Okay. All right. So,
but see, wait, and yeah, there's one ahead. More thing.
Yeah.
Use Turo, which is, I don't have stock in them, but I've used it before. It's like an Airbnb for cars. You can rent someone's car. Like, somebody have a spare car, they rent it. You can rent it for a day, a week, whatever. The competition's a great thing. Rent something like that instead of being stuck with an EV.
Okay. She secretly owns stock. We believe she really does.
Yes. I do not.
I'm not buying it. Yeah. But hey, look, you're good.
All right. So what about you, Mr. Butters? Are you gonna take the 14-hour drive in the unplanned EV with the rental agency?
So, a couple of thoughts. Depends on where you are in the country. Because there are, especially you get out West Coast, there's a lot more infrastructure that exists. if it's a Tesla that's got the self-driving stuff right now, heck yeah, I want to go see how good that is. That gets me excited with Tesla.
So you want to read a book while you ride in the car?
Hey, if I can on a 14-hour road trip, it's certainly it's interesting. It's very interesting. Yeah, it definitely a lot of issues there. If I was going to stay in a hotel, that might be less of a concern, because most, you know, you've seen a lot of hotels now actually have the charging station. But
you think,
like, if
they
you
do, really?
Oh yeah. If you're there's a lot of hotels now that and again, especially you got the West Coast. I mean, the last time I was out in San Diego, which was, you know, four plus years ago now, every hotel had that stuff.
Okay, so
but right. If I'm going to somebody's house, then well, now what do I do? How do I get to, yeah? So it definitely causes a lot of and number one, the rental company's got to cover the insurance, so when I break down, they're going to pay for the towing bill to a charging station.
I got news. They pass it on to the consumer, just so you know.
Oh, yeah.
All right. We got a mixed bag of results there. We got Lee, who says, take a flying leap. I'm going to go rent from some stranger I've never seen before who's got, you know, don't run the black light in their car. But then you've also got Butters, who is saying that depending upon where he is in the nation, he would do the EV.
Yeah, I think the whole point is it depends on the situation. There can't be an all or nothing.
I'm going to tell you right now, unless they've got as many charging stations at Bucky's as they do gas pumps, I ain't doing it.
About two trips ago to Bucky's, I did see a Tesla on the back of a rollback. getting dropped off at the charging station. So,
all right, good round, good one. All right, here I go. We're gonna do a round number two here. So I'll go with Butters first on this one. So, all right, so libraries, you know, and schools, they seem to be like the hottest sites for grassroots conservative action. Like, you know, Moms for Liberty is super involved in both. You've got, you know, family groups popping up and people going and speaking to school boards and folks trying to get books moved from one part of the library to another, or just get them out altogether. And you look at it and go, okay, there's a whole lot of grassroots activity right now that seems to center around libraries and schools. If you had to guess, what would you say is going to be the next battleground in the culture wars? Aside from libraries and schools, what do you think is the next cultural battleground? Butters, what do you think, buddy?
God, that's
it has nothing to do with fly larva milk.
No, that's such a tough one. Mainly because I'm in my own little world. But I think I'll speak from what I've seen. You know, we talked about the rendering plant stuff.
Yep.
You know, that occurred around here locally. I think you're going to start seeing, or there's a lot more awareness in the local government. A lot more folks looking out for each other in small town America. That's always been there, but now it's, you know, so, you know, I think that may be,
so you think one of the hotbeds is like flipping city halls and that kind of stuff?
Yeah. I think people are going to start,
that's cool.
Start, you know, there's going to be more and more realization that I can't fix DC, but you know, I can fix, I'll run for mayor. I'll run for whatever.
School board. City council. Yeah, I can see that. All right, Lee, with your activist heart, what do you think? What is the next cultural battleground that you think is going to rise up with grassroots in America?
I think we've already seen it. I think it's going to be more towards products and what companies are trying to sell us, like Bud Light. You know, to some extent, Target, you know, other things. I think you're going to see more and more grassroots of a parallel economy pop up, where we're going to have alternatives to Amazon, alternatives to these places, where you can shop and spend your money where you know these companies are not woke. So I think you're going to see more of that. People are getting more and more concerned about where their money's going, and they're just not going to give woke companies, you know, the money to spend anymore. I mean, look at Disney. They're really taking a hit. People are, they're going to make their money speak for them. And I think you're just going to see that more and more. It's already started, but it's going to become a bigger deal.
Wow, that's cool. And in fact, I wrote down the phrase parallel economy. I can feel a whole dipper coming out of that. But but you know, parallel economies happen other places. I'll never forget when I got over to Baghdad, you found that there had, because the Saddam Hussein's regime had kept people suppressed so much, that an entire black market economy ran under the surface, because that's how people got the goods and services they needed. Otherwise, they weren't going to get what they needed.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it always happens, right? I mean, prison, war, it doesn't matter. Goods and services will still be available.
Well, okay, so here's my thought on this. Where's the next cultural battle? I think one of them is going to be the military. I think there are people right now that are getting so fed up with watching the military be treated like a, you know, some kind of socioeconomic cultural petri dish for experimentation by liberals, that you're going to start seeing that there's going to be a risk. I'm hoping that there's going to be, especially with, you know, veterans getting tired of the service they loved being a part of, being treated like it is, I think you're going to start seeing more and more grassroots effort that's going to extend into congressional effort, that's going to extend into revitalizing sort of what I would call the true nature of what the military was supposed to be. That's my hope anyway. That's what I think is going to happen.
Just
postulating.
That's a tough one, because at the end of the day, who's the boss?
Yeah, the executive branch.
Yeah,
actually is, but the power of the purse lies in the representative form of government. I don't know. I just see it, and I'm thinking right now we're seeing a growing pushback. I've had, you know, any number of folks that come on my show and talk about the things they're seeing, saying, tired of being a part of. The recruiting numbers are so far down. We got a world that's not stable. Anyway, I just see parallel economy though. You know what, Phil? Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just going to say you're spot on that one, because the generational factor too. There are people who have generations of their family have been in the military. That's one of the main feeders of military recruiting, and that's taking a sharp curve. People don't want to encourage their kids and grandkids. It's beginning to affect them, and I think that's where the cultural revolution has to start.
I'm not going to be a bit surprised. All right, you guys, we are at the end of round one for Butters and Lee. So we flip the script after this break. We come right back, and then I'm going to take questions from them. They're going to ask me my thoughts randomly on stuff. We'll see where we go. You're right here, Right Side Radio, with Butters and Lee. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, making common sense like a superpower. All right, we're back with round two of, we're calling it Butters and Lee. Give me some whoop-whoops, Butters. We need some whoop-whoops on this one. Butters and Lee. Woo! There it is. All right. That was a crazy first round. We're going to the next round where we flip the script, and we just I'd sit back with bated breath waiting to see what questions they're going to ask of me. So I'm going to go with Lee first. Lee, your question for me.
Okay, so we're going to hear tonight in a debate from Ron DeSantis, of course, of Florida, and Gavin Newsom of California.
Oh, yeah.
In a debate.
Yeah.
Which I think is going to be very interesting, more so than even the Republican debate.
Absolutely.
Thoughts on what barbs they may throw at each other, and how are they going to differentiate their two very different states?
Yeah. First of all, I agree with you. I think this is going to be more interesting than the GOP primary debate, because you're actually going to see two guys who have absolutely polar opposite, differing views of what governance should be. And it's going to be like watching, you know, a presidential primary in a sense. These two guys, by the way, even if they don't get the primary position for their party in this election, both of them are considered to be contenders for future, you know, runs. And they're both
Absolutely.
Governors of the, you know, the two of the biggest states. I mean, they're presiding right now as the chief executive over states that have more GDP, more population than the vast majority of countries in the world. And yet, if you look at it, Newsom is running his in the ground. So let me go back to your question. Barbs they'll trade. Well, first of all, when it comes to the tacky barbs, I would bet that somewhere Newsom's going to find something to say about DeSantis' height and his boots. And then somewhere in there, there's going to be something about Newsom's hair. DeSantis' boots and height, Newsom's hair, and kind of like, you know, perfect teeth. I see that. But then I guarantee you there's going to be something said by DeSantis about how many California license plates are now driving around Florida. I guarantee you he's going to talk about the mass exodus. I'm hoping, and I saw, by the way, Babylon B cracks me up. Babylon B had a meme today that said, "Tonight's debate is brought to you by U-Haul." And you know, if you look at it, the U-Haul report comes out every year, and they tell you which states had the most one-way rentals out of their state, and California has been the highest. And so there's going to be a lot of that. Then there's going to be, I guarantee you, Newsom's going to say that somehow or another DeSantis is homophobic, and he's limiting the ability of LGBTQ, you know, people to live happily ever after in the state of Florida. And then DeSantis is going to come back with, you know, madness in the nanny state that's being brewed up in California. So I see all that happening. Mm-hmm. What did I miss? You got anything you think could be thrown in there, barbs?
He'll mention that slavery thing about how slaves learned to trade. You know, that was another one that, you know, how it benefited them after slavery. Remember that? And that was a big kerfluffle for 5 minutes against DeSantis. But, I mean, it was garbage. But,
yeah,
he'll probably bring that up.
I would expect so. What do you think? Is Newsom going to get his hair discussed somewhere in there?
Yeah. I mean, or at least, you know, how much time he must spend in the mirror. But I think that it's going to be interesting to see both of them because Newsom is people don't need to think that he's a joke. He's serious, and he could win at some point.
That's a great
point. And we need
to
get a good eye on him, get a good feeling for him, because he's dangerous.
Okay, so on a serious note, great point. We got to take him serious. Don't blow him off. To me, he looks like a Batman villain, but he is also, oh, by the way, probably one of the most schmarmy, condescending, but truly evil liberal politicians out there. And, oh, by the way, I bet, Lee, going back to the question again, I bet there's going to be real discussion about how each state handled COVID, you know, the lockdowns, and yet the lockdowns and the draconian policies in California, and there he was, you know, out there having fancy lobbyist dinners with no mask on, you know,
right.
Good for thee, but not for me. Whereas DeSantis is going to say,
and the homeless explosion.
Oh, and the homeless
explosion.
Oh, it's a target-rich environment. I'm telling you, mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to it. I'm a political junkie. I'm going to be watching it. I guess real quick then, Butters, you got a question for me with about a minute to go?
Yeah, we got about 1 minute. So in the interest of climate change and EVs and all this discussion, I do think we're at a point in the world where most people go like, hey, we probably should protect the environment and not just...
be a good steward.
Yeah. So have you got any ideas, recommendations, things you're aware of, organizations that you go, yeah, they're doing it. They're doing it right. They're doing it well in a way with a...
Yeah, I can go there real quick. I mean, I don't like the big ones, but I like there's an organization around here you and I both know called Coosa River Keepers, and I love what they do is they just do a day. Like, they'll do things like, it's going to be Clean Up Our River Day, and they'll have, you know, Boy Scout troops and Little League teams and moms and pops out there with trash bags, and they'll walk the banks, and they'll clean up, and they'll have a big old place where they'll dump it, and everybody can see how much stuff was actually pulled out of our river. And it not only does a good thing, it awakens people to the ideas that we should be a good steward of what we have. I like that. I like that a lot.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. I've become good friends through all of our rendering plant activities.
Oh, yeah.
With the executive director.
That's where I became more aware of them, too.
Yeah, Coosa River Keeper.
Lee, thank you for joining us. Hey, tell you what, with about like 15 seconds left, did you have a goofy story for us? Oh, the music's playing.
Is it playing? Can I still go?
Go ahead. Tell it.
I was going to say, a guy flying from Detroit to Denver decided to just airdrop sexually explicit photos of himself to all the other passengers. And
what?
He was escorted off that flight. He just said, I was just having fun.
Yeah, that's the modern version of exposing yourself, I guess. Oh, my gosh. All right, Lee from Huntsville, we appreciate you. Butters and Lee, y'all, good times. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. All you Right Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right.